Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton with you for the next hour. And at some point, the head coach will stick his head in here and we'll share some thoughts on Sunday's loss. Not too many of them, if memory holds true. The coach wants to move on, obviously, because that was painful. Look forward to the game. Actually, the coach will want to look forward to practice because you've got a couple of days of that before you can get to the game. But the next opportunity for these young men to get past all of that, for us too, those of us that follow this team and those of you that watch it, is Sunday in Houston. Go figure. Battle Red Day, huh? Always seems when the Jaguars go over there, they put those red jerseys on and fire the place up. The Texans are kind of come in on a high. You know, they went up to Tennessee, and Tennessee looked good, I thought, in losing to Pittsburgh on that opening Thursday night. And I did not see, have not watched the tape yet, of the Texans-Titans game, but Matt Schaub threw 4 touchdown passes. We all know what Andre Johnson is. I mean, I think he's the best receiver in the game. If I had to start a receiving core, it would start with him. The guy is big, strong, fast, and from everything I'm told by my folks, my friends in Houston, he's a great kid. To go with all of his ability, he's a great kid. So Jaguars have their hands full this week with a Texans team that is looking good. Jaguars get back to the practice fields tomorrow. And the phone number this evening for you to join us, 355-6351, 355-NFL1. And this first segment of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. And we will go to the phones shortly. Jaguars and Texans kick things off 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. For those of you here in Jacksonville, we'll start the pregame show, the tailgate show, at 10. And then the network pregame hour gets underway at noon, followed by whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the Texans. And then we'll bring you along with the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. Be joined by the coach in just a minute, 355-NFL-1. If you'd like to join us on the program, look at the division right now. Colts are 2-0. Texans are 1-1. Jaguars and Titans both looking for their first win. Obviously, the next 2 weeks, and we'll talk about this with the coach, important for the club because winning in the division is important for the club. And this Texans team, while not the benchmark team, have not been to the playoffs in their entire existence. However, the Jaguars look at this team and now have to play them and the Colts and the Titans. So let's do this. Let's take a break. The coach will be here in just a moment, and we will go right to the phone lines on the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Folks, when you're looking for department store style discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. Bring on the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Coach, Tuesday, 24-hour rule, come and gone. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good to see you.
Back at it tomorrow. Get you guys back. A couple of days off. Get ready for the Houston Texans in the division.
Had today off.
But, yeah, players had today off. They were here yesterday.
Yesterday. Regeneration. Meeting. Film review.
And young
go home
football
rest.
Team. Young football
go home,
team.
Go home rest.
Go home rest.
Come back.
Ready to go?
Get ready to work, yeah. Oh, yeah, and also turn your ears off.
And do you think they did it?
I don't know.
Did you do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You could dive into that cave over there and just immerse yourself in football.
We go back to work. Right. I mean, it's on to the next one. No time to sit and wallow.
It's just a game, and at some point in time, you know, you look back on the season and if things change and you get better, as you've talked about getting better, you don't really remember week two as much as you do in week 14.
We will get better. I don't know that I'll forget. I don't forget much about experiences as a coach and games that we've had here, good and bad. But certainly looking forward to the next opportunity.
You want your team to forget when they come in here tomorrow?
No, you don't want to forget the pain. You want to remember the pain. You don't want to feel that pain again.
Right. That's ingrained, though.
Yeah, I think you feel that, but we're not going to dwell on it. We're going to move on. We've got to, and we are.
Young football team, how do they respond to a game? Do they forget it faster than a veteran team, than a team like you've had in here in the past?
I don't know. I think each team is different. Every year is different.
Has nothing to do with youth or veteran?
No, I think a team becomes what it, you know, what it works on, what it determines, how it responds. I think every year is different because of that. Circumstances change, and why try and forecast?
All right. So how did this team do when you had them back in here yesterday?
So far, so good.
Okay. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you want to share a thought with the coach, Texans Sunday, guess what? It's Battle Red Day. That's a big surprise, isn't it?
Santa Claus coming?
Yeah. Santa Claus in September, right? They always seem to pull those red jerseys out. But it makes for fun. Makes for a rivalry. And you get a Texans team this week that's coming off of a big win up in Tennessee. So, great challenge on Sunday afternoon.
Absolutely.
Great opportunity.
Absolutely. You're talking about a big, big win. They came back. I mean, they were down. Tennessee was up. It looked like they had the game in hand. And then, boom, couple big strikes. A great job coming back and pulling that game out.
Yeah, Matt Schaub had 4 touchdown passes. And when you got a guy like Andre Johnson on the field, it's kind of like Larry Fitzgerald. Even if you can contain Larry Fitzgerald, you got Anquan Boldin, and you got Steve Breston, and Tim Hightower. These guys, you've got Owen Daniels. Why can't I think of the other kid's name? Kevin Walter.
Kevin Walter was hurt last week.
And Steve Slayton.
Steve Slayton's a pretty good player.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. So lots to talk about over the next hour. Grab a couple phone calls.
Yeah, let's get the Cards review out of the way here.
John's in Ponte Vedra. Hello, John. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, John. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Well, a long-time season ticket holder. I just noticed, an observation on that interception return. I just thought that the team looked like they were out of gas, and that was, not too late into the game. I mean, I was watching a couple of guys kind of jog after the ball carrier. I'm wondering what the conditioning of the team is, or was it just a kind of the air out of the balloon at that point? I'll take it off the air.
Okay.
I think you're probably talking about the field goal block.
Appreciate it, John. Yeah, you're talking about a field goal return. That's what it looks like when offensive linemen turn into DBs. It's not going to be a pretty sight. No. You got a bunch of big guys, most of them over 300 pounds. And, yeah, there wasn't a lot of speed on the field chasing the guy with the ball. So, heady play by them, catch it on the fly, get a couple guys blocked that have a chance to run you down, and then outrun everybody else.
Right.
That's what it was. You saw a bunch of big, fat guys running down to try and chase a little fast guy. Yeah. Didn't look too good.
Adam Podlish went running over there, and he got crushed.
Yeah, he got blocked. And
give him credit for going over and trying to make something happen.
The two tight ends that were in both.
Mercedes was chasing him all the way down the
field. He was chasing, and then the rest of the big linemen, it looked like you might expect, a big offensive lineman chasing a DB.
Well, you don't see that happening. You don't see that many blocked field goals taken back for touchdowns. So.
But it was not
a lack of conditioning.
But I understand where it might look that way.
All right. Well, you've been talking about your off-season conditioning program and the effect that it had on your training camp. Are you still seeing the same results, still seeing the same things that Luke Richardson and his group?
Okay. Yes, been real good. Absolutely.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab Sterling, who joins us from Mandarin. Hello, Sterling. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, thank you. How are y'all doing?
Okay.
Hi, Sterling.
Hi. I just had a question for Coach. I'll take the answer off the air. What is our record as a team against the Texans? I don't think it's pretty good. And how are we going to, change that? I don't know if we went 0-2 against them last year, but what are y'all's plans for beating the Texans next week? Thank you.
Pretty general question there. The Jaguars split with him last year. Won here when Scobie booted an overtime field goal and then lost there on Monday Night Football.
Right.
So, right.
And 2 years ago, we basically threw our last game when we went down there at the end of the year and had the playoff spot locked up.
And you didn't start anybody at all.
So I guess that would go into the didn't win column that, again, if you want to carry it forward, you maybe care. But at the time, we didn't.
Right.
So, no, I mean, we're going to go down there and expect to play a good football team at their place and find a way to win. And coaches are working hard right now, putting together the plan in terms of how you get them slowed down with what they do offensively, how you generate points and yards and all the things we need to do offensively. And then special teams is really a heck of a challenge. They've got an exceptional group on special teams. They're doing a great job covering kicks. They've got some really good returners. Andre Davis may return to action. He's been a little banged up, but looks like he may come back. And so their return game takes a big leap from there. So it's a challenge.
Record against the Texans, 5-7. Could be 6-6 if you play on that final Sunday in 2007. So about even, folks, just in case you're wondering. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's grab one more. We've got Howard, who joins us from Orange Park. Hello, Howard. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. And, Coach, yeah, I got a question about attendance. You know, I read in the paper that it's an economic thing, yet I look at Gainesville. They had an almost record crowd the other day. What can we do to get attendance up so we can see some of these games on TV?
Well, I think what the reason the rule's in place the way it is whenever they're not selling enough, I think the league is – determined that the best way to get people off their couches and into the stadium is to not have the game be broadcast on TV. So I guess it's going to be, you know, those that love the Jaguars that are accustomed to being able to sit home and watch it on TV are going to have to feel the pain of not being able to watch and then decide it's more important to see the team and come watch us by buying a ticket.
Well, interesting in your question, Howard, you said, what can we do to get people in the stand so we can see the game on TV? And the reality of it is that you got to go to the games. That's how the games get to TV, is if you're there with your friends and your family.
Yep.
And that's how it works in the National Football League. They protect their product. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Here on the Jack Del Rio Show, grab Derek down in Daytona. Derek, you're on with head coach Jack Del Rio. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Coach. I want to ask a question. I was wondering whether all the, I consider foolishness talk, but all the talk about Tim Tebow and so forth being drafted next year has undermined the morale in the locker room.
I don't get that sense, Derek. I think most people associated with the game understand that the draft is a process that takes place in the spring. It won't occur until several months from now.
And that he's enigmatic and local and plays for the big college team.
Well, aside from the talent that's available, there'll be a lot of good players that you'll be picking from. I think you still, it's a draft. It's, you get a spot in each round. There's so much time between now and the time that actual process, selection process takes place, and the scrutiny and all the things that will take place. There's plenty of time for that. So I don't really think that has anything to do with it, but I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, Derek. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate the phone call. We'll take a break. More to come with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Jaguars and Texans on Sunday. Got a thought for the head coach as the Jaguars move forward with week 3 of the NFL season. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's go down to Orlando with the first call of the evening. And Gary joins us. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the program.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking a call. I'm a season ticket holder. Don't mind to drive one bit going up to Jacksonville for the game.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate that.
You know, I just, you sit up in the stands, you count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, up to 5, and no pressure on the quarterback. It doesn't seem like there's much pressure coming from up the middle or stunting from Harvey or Groves on the other side. Anything, I know you don't want to give away the game plan, but any tricks for the Houston Texans coming up?
Well, we hope so. I think, Gary, I think to your point, I'm not sure that there was 1,002 or 3 and much beyond 3 before Kurt Warner threw the ball on Sunday. I know it maybe felt that way, but the reality of it is he threw the ball quickly, short, intermediate passes, mostly short, and we didn't tackle it very well. we were 2 of 9, or we only allowed them to convert 2 of 9 on third down. So once we got them in the third down, we were in good shape. But we didn't tackle well enough on the early downs, and he distributed the ball. Now, there will be times when we need, whether it be Harvey, Groves, whoever, to get to the quarterback. If the quarterback's holding the ball and throwing the ball down the field, that absolutely will be a critical thing for us to do. And we do need to get more – we need to generate more rush this year going forward than we've had the first couple weeks out. But we did start the first couple games of this season against two veteran quarterbacks that throw the ball very quickly and are not sacked very often. So I just think you have to be – you have to understand a little bit about what we have just gone up against the first 2 weeks,
right.
The reality of the situation. And if you don't get him in the third and long, you're not going to have a lot of opportunities to get after him. And that's the reality. So in terms of Derek Harvey, Quentin Groves, and all those guys, I know they're chomping at the bit. They're anxious to get it going. We're going to have a good defense this year, and part of that is applying pressure to the quarterback.
Do you get a quarterback this week that holds the ball a little bit longer, or the Texans sort of a – quick throw, catch and run type of offense that we've seen the last 2 weeks?
Well, everybody's different, okay, and how they set their plan, you know, we'll see. But they typically have been a team that will run and play pass and take some vertical shots down the field with Andre Johnson and some of the weapons they have. So, yes, when you take those looks, there's risk-reward involved. The reward is if you protect it well, you got a chance to look down the field with a big, beautiful-looking wide receiver that runs really fast. So. Yeah. We obviously will need to get the quarterback harassed and hurried and bothered and not allowed to set up and throw the ball down the field to a guy like Andre Johnson.
Appreciate the phone call from Orlando, 355-NFL1. Jason's in Mandarin. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show, Jason.
Hey, Coach Brian. I just wanted to call and have a little change from all the doom and gloom that's been going on this week and commend you guys on coming back in the second half and putting forth a valiant effort. I mean, guys, had the wind taken out of you there at the end and then came back and put up a good fight. And I just want to say I appreciated that.
Well, I appreciate your call, Jason. I can assure you one thing. This team's going to fight. We're going to fight the entire game. It wasn't sharp enough early. We let the game get away from us there in the first half. We had a couple opportunities where we got two turnovers and did nothing with them. They took the two turnovers and got touchdowns with them. And that's really where they created separation. And came back in the second half and fought and battled and got ourselves to within a shot and didn't quite pull it off. But I assure you, this football team will fight and will compete and will improve as the year goes on.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you'd like to talk to the head coach, looking towards the Texans game on Sunday. And let's grab, let's see what we've got here. Let's grab Scott, who joins us from East Arlington. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Thank you. Hello, Coach.
Hello, Scott.
I was wondering if our defensive backs have the ability to play bump and run, because against the Colts and then on Sunday, you see our guys 7 to 10 yards back, and you look around the league watching other games, and you see guys right up in the face, chucking them in to come off the line, screwing up their timing, getting them off their routes. And I'm wondering if we can do that, why don't we? And if we can't do it, can we get some people that can?
Yeah, that's a good question in terms of how we deploy our back end. I think you saw certainly the Miami Dolphins last night try and chuck and run and be aggressive with the Colts receivers, and you got to see how that worked. So I think every defense puts together a plan on how they want to approach an opponent, how they want to get them slowed down, how they want to prevent the amount of yardage, the amount of points that they put up. And I think we had a pretty effective plan against the Colts. We held them below their averages in a lot of different categories and felt like we could have done some other things really in terms of catching the ball and making some plays that were available to us. So we'll always look at different options and what we think we can do best to slow a team down. And what we've elected to do the first 2 weeks is what we believe would give us the best chance, and we'll continue to do that.
How's Scotty Starks play? Saw a lot of time, obviously, on Sunday. He's a guy coming back from an ACL.
He played better against Indy than he did last week.
Okay.
He didn't play particularly well in this ball game. He's a good football player. He's a smart football player.
Tough guy, too.
He's tough, and he's come back from the injury, but he's come back and done a nice job for us. And I thought he was very good against Indy, and he was okay last week, but we expect him to play at a higher level.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1. Let's break here at the bottom of the hour. We've got 30 more minutes with the head coach. We'll talk about the Texans game on Sunday when we return to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
to talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Jaguars fans, you can enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Ticket to the House drawing. One winner is chosen for each home game, and that person and a guest will receive tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Jaguars, Texans, Sunday, Reliant Stadium, Battle Red Day. It'll be fun, in particular because it's a great little rivalry. It's not going to get all the attention.
All our division games, don't they? I mean, you realize you play six games a year.
Right.
Every year.
Right. Well, everyone gets up for the Colts.
One home, one away. You got the Colts. Peyton Manning been great for a long time. You got Tennessee Titans, need I say more.
No, you don't have to say the Houston Texans, need I say more.
I mean, you know, there are three teams that we look forward to playing, each of them, twice a year, every year, guaranteed.
All right. The Texans have Mario Williams, right? So Eugene Monroe and Evan Britton have been baptized by fire to a degree with Mathis and Freeney. They have seen Darnell Dockett and Bertrand Berry. This week they get Mario Williams. Mario Williams is a different kind of cat, though. I mean, this is a 6'7", 280-pound man. This is going to be a real challenge.
They're all challenges, but yes.
I mean, not that Freeney wasn't, but, I mean, this is a different kind of challenge, right?
Yeah, different kind of guy.
What's Monroe doing?
Every week, it's somebody else.
Yeah.
Think about it. How about the DBs? You got Reggie Wayne to start.
You get Bolden and Fitzgerald.
Now you get to bring on Andre Johnson in that group. And so, yeah, no, it's every week there's a challenge. Every team has good players. We have good players.
Right.
So they got to deal with our players.
All right. Well, how does your good young left tackle handle Mario?
You mean how does Mario Williams handle him?
However you want to handle it.
We'll have to ask Mario later this week.
Well, look at the Texans' defense. They've got a couple of players that stand out. Williams is one. D'Amico Ryans, the middle linebacker, is another. And in the back end, you've got Dante Robinson in the corner. And those three guys seem to be the heartbeat of what they do on defense. Has it changed much from last year to this year, their defense, from what you can tell?
Not from what I can tell.
Okay. I mean, they've got a new defensive coordinator.
A couple new wrinkles, but you know, you basically have, some of the big, strong guys that you're referring to are still there, and they've added a couple. You know, they got a couple guys. They got Cushion in the draft, and they got a kid, Connor Barwin, out of Cincinnati. That was a tight end, defensive end guy, all energy, all effort. Kind of reminded me of Michael McCrary the way he plays the game. They've added some pieces, and they're an improving football team.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. David joins us from Green Cove next. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, David. Doing well. Good night. Good evening.
I just want to throw my hat in the ring about all these doomsayers and naysayers. I mean, for crap's sake, it's, we're 0-2, so what? I mean, this is the NFL. It's a razor's edge between winning and losing. Yeah, everybody's talking about we got blown out Sunday. Well, I don't see where that's the case. I mean, they blocked a field goal. The ball bounced correctly. They ran it back. You know, those things are going to happen. I mean, you take that away, we get the field goal. That's only that's a 10-point spread right there. You know, that's 27-20 at the end of the game, and we still have a chance to score and beat them. So, I mean, I think we've been playing really hard. You know, and this stuff about Tim Tebow is silly. I mean, David Girard is our quarterback. I don't care if it's Tebow, Girard, or anybody. The Colts, nobody can throw when they got somebody in their face or from the flat of their back. And the best running back in the world can't go anywhere unless there's a hole. So, you know, we got some rookies. They're finding their own way. They're going to get tougher. They're going to get harder. I mean, I saw somebody that had the Houston Texans going to the Super Bowl. I mean, what are they, 0-2? Am I wrong? Or 1-1? What are they?
They're 1-1.
Yeah, they're 1-1.
1-1. Okay, so
Tennessee is 0-2, and Houston's 1-1.
Yeah, Tennessee is 0-2. Go figure. Who would have thought that? I mean, we played the Colts and the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Come on, you know. We're going to get deeper in this season. We're going to surprise some people, you know. Who knows if this is our year for the playoffs, but you know, I saw people playing hard in the second half, and that's all that matters to me. The ball is some way for you and sometimes against you. All I got to say is go Jaguars. I'll leave it to you. Thank you.
I really appreciate that call. That is awesome to hear, and I agree with you. I think that it's a long season. There's a lot of football ahead of us. Our guys are fighting their tails off. Vito asked me yesterday, you know, as he does so well, you know.
He has a very distinct
He's great at it. I mean, I've really come to really appreciate him, though, you know, for the job he does. But he came after me again about, is my glass half full? I said, yes. He said, well, that glass must be this small, and he's got his fingers up, and he's showing a really small glass. I said, well, you know, that's how I see it. I do. I mean, I see the work the guys are putting in. I see the fight in our guys. I know we're young, but we're an improving football team, and we're going to get better. I promise you, we're going to get better.
Well, when you see a guy like Mike Walker at the end of the ball game make a couple of plays, when he finally gets out there, and, you know, that's a guy you've been waiting on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
He's had to battle some off-the-field personal issues and then the knee, and then he comes through with a nice move on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie for a touchdown and six catches for 106 yards.
All in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's a guy that you got to get a bit energetic about.
Yeah, got to get it. And he'll get more opportunities to touch the ball. He's going to be starting this week. He's going to get the ball more often. So, he emerged. I mean, that's his second 100-yard game that he's had as a Jaguar.
Yeah.
The other one coming last year against the Steelers in that.
I remember. And another six for 106, Dad.
That's right. So, you know, there's some good things going on. We're going to get Mike Thomas up at wide receiver. He'll get going this
Mercedes
week.
Mercedes' catch and run was, you know, I mean, Mercedes had quarter, third quarter, but
he had some nice catches in the game. It would have been a great day had he started that game with that one that was close,
that
tough
was a
catch.
Yeah.
But, we had some explosive plays. We're going to play tough. I think, you know, one of the things I'm most excited about is Terrence Knighton in the middle of our defense with John Henderson. That was a big question mark coming into this season, and Terrence has shown us that he's going to be
another strong game for him on Sunday?
Not as strong as the first one, but strong enough to where you know that he's a big, powerful man that's going to be a good player for us for a long time.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick pause on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. Here in the break, just, you know, talking like we do.
Yeah.
And I asked you because Maurice Drew runs the ball so physically.
Don't you love it?
I do.
Don't you love the way he plays?
I do. I loved watching Earl Campbell
run the
ball.
So what was the question? Get to
the question is, do you have to start getting more carries for, you choose, Greg Jones, Montel Owens, Rashad Jennings.
Right. Because he had...
Well, he only had 13 carries.
He had 13 carries. So
I understand
my answer because it's not absurd because I've heard this question a lot. So I want to be able to answer to more people.
Okay.
So
you don't get asked it again.
They'll probably get asked again, but they probably are curious too. And I'll say the same thing I said last week. If we possess the ball enough and get enough carries, then we'll find out who's going to be the second guy that's going to get the lion's
share. That's
true.
Yeah, you've got to have the.
But I promise you, 13 is not too many carries for Maurice to get.
And I don't think it is either. I mean,
if he gets 30 one week,
then I can ask you the question.
Then you'll say, "How come you didn't use the other guy?" And I'll say, "Gee, we made a mistake because we don't want him to carry the ball 30 times."
Well, I mean, every time he carried the ball, and he's done this since you drafted him. That's what you love about him, I think.
Yes,
is that he puts his shoulder into somebody and tries to run over them.
Yes.
And that's why everybody who's listening, who comes to watch him, loves to see the ball in his hands. So I was just asking him a management question in terms of managing him over a 16-game schedule, keeping him healthy, keeping him explosive, because he's obviously a marquee player.
That's right. He is.
He's. I
love
13, to watch him.
And 13 is not too many.
Not too many. No. I know that sounds absurd. All right. I asked you on the air. See, you didn't think I would. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Go back to Green Cove. Joe is standing by. Hello, Joe. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, Brian, Coach. How you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, Joe.
Coach, I love watching you play when you tackle with a fire and, you know, aggression. You played. Have you ever thought about putting the pads on in the practice field and showing these young guys how you used to do it?
No. No, Joe.
There's some nighty hobbles in here now.
Now I'll get in there and mix it up in a walkthrough. That's about the extent of my playing days now. I mean, I will not. But I do want them to feel the passion, the desire that I have for us to be a great tackling defense, and we will stress that, and we will tackle better going forward. And I think we have guys that are very capable, and we just need to do it at a better level.
You know, at times you saw some really great tackles. The one Clint Ingram had where he exploded into Benny Wells and threw him backwards about 3 yards. That was a great tackle.
Well, it's not all bad. I mean, let's not get carried away. But we had some, in particular with our secondary, we need to tackle better, and we did, and that's been talked about for the last couple of days by me.
Right.
And that's something certainly will improve.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab another call. 355-6351. Let's grab, let's take Bob down on the south side. Hey, Bob, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey. Good. How are you doing? I have a question for you. What I want to know is, in watching the other teams play, why is it that it appears, at least, that the first and second year players on the majority of other teams are outperforming the first and second year performance of the guys on this team, especially receivers, which is no big secret. But when you see some of these other guys, what's missing that they, with the same amount of experience, are basically outperforming what I see on the field down here?
Why don't you give a name? Why don't you give a specific name or something so the comparison
Pierre,
can be more real?
Pierre, what's his name from the Colts, for instance? Second-year player.
Oh, Garcon, 85.
Garcon, yes, who sounds like a chef. But, I mean, you see these guys play. They have the same amount of experience. And I'm not seeing the same performance out of these guys here that you see out of those guys. So that was my question. Right. So.
Well, okay.
See you off there.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Appreciate the phone call. My opinion, Coach, I mean, it doesn't matter who the offensive tackle for the Colts is or the running back or the wide receiver. When you got a guy like Peyton Manning who's controlling the offense, it all looks good.
Okay. Well said.
It's just what I observe.
I cannot agree with somebody that I totally disagree with.
Okay.
I disagree with what he just said.
Right.
But I think everybody has their own opinion, and I think that's wonderful. But
we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, nice job by Garcon.
355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout. You're listening on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, and you can join us at 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We've got time for a couple more calls here this evening. Jaguars and Texans Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Tailgate show for those of you listening on WOKV at 10 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. Pre-game starts at noontime. Whistle-to-whistle coverage, Winn-Dixie post-game show, you know the drill, and the scoreboard show. Let's grab Paul down in Mandarin. Paul, welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. Good evening.
Good evening, Brian. Good evening, Coach. And Terry, sincere regards also.
Great.
And I don't know if it's already been addressed or not, but in the supposed pass interference on our good buddy Torrey Holt, why didn't you throw the flag on that, Coach? I'm pretty sure it would have been reviewed and we would have been in our favor.
Yeah, I wish that were a part of our system, but it's not. It's not a reviewable play. Judgment calls like that are not subject to review. So throwing a flag would have only got me a penalty, but not have got me a review. I wish it could.
I had the glasses on you the entire break. Because I guess there was a timeout after that. The entire break, and you were out there, and your arms were waving wildly. Yeah, I know. I remember it. I desperately wanted to hear your conversation.
Well,
with
I pulled out the flag and I said, "I wish I could drop this thing because I'd really like you to take a look at that." It was a very poor call.
And they've already probably seen it. You know, because the NFL sends the tapes out to those guys quick.
Oh, I'm sure they've seen it.
Yeah, because they were, you know, when the refs were here before your scrimmage, they were explaining the review process for every play that goes. Everybody who's listening knows, and I'll make the statement of the obvious: it was pass interference. Just plain and simple. You can't say that. That's a fine. We don't want you to have to write a big check. But the fact of the matter is that everybody who saw it understands. Those plays happen. You'd just rather not have them when you're down 10-3 driving to tie the game. Can I leave it at that?
Please.
All right. We'll leave it at that. 355-NFL-1. Martin's got a thought on Maurice Drew. Hello, Martin. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hello, Martin.
Hi, Coach. Big fan of yours. Just wanted to, I had Maurice Jones-Drew on my fantasy football team. I love him. I think he's just a hard-running guy, and I love his attitude, and I think you guys are doing real good this year. on some aspects. One question I'd like to ask you, though, our offense, you know, it seems like we move the ball pretty well on other teams. We seem to have a little trouble in the red zone. But I was wondering, sometimes our offense seems really transparent. Like if you have Maurice Jones-Drew in the eye and you have maybe a fullback back there, the defense pretty much knows, you know, we're going to run. And usually when we have like a two- or three-set receiver set, you know, it's pretty obvious we're going to pass. Are you going to try to mix it up and maybe run a few trick plays this year or try to keep them a little off balance? And I guess that's my question for you.
Okay. Yeah, good question in terms of how we utilize them and setting up different things with similar looks. I think we you have to be aware we're tracking all of that, and I think what you get is when you have some tendencies, like you stated, when you have one look that you're presenting and you're always doing one thing and the defense starts to say, oh, they're always doing this, then you have set them up for a potential play pass or trick play or whatever it may be. Off of that action, so that is definitely part of what the coaches are working on, planning, and getting ready to get on with the next opponent.
Good thought, Martin. We appreciate it. We're going to get on with the next break. Come back with our final segment. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show here on Jaguars Radio. Final 2 minutes of the Jack Del Rio Show. Coach got an early start on game planning for the Texans game. Can't fault him for that. Jaguars and Texans. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock start. Want to get to a couple of these calls, though. Glenn's been hanging on, and we've just been stacked with phone calls. Glenn, what's your thought on field goal placement? What is it that you saw?
Coach and Brian, thank you for your time. Again, I'm a season ticket holder since 95. Love the team, Coach. Love what you're doing. And I'll get into what I was going to say is that we were at the game on Sunday, third quarter, 10 minutes, 20 seconds left. Cardinals line up for a 48-yard field goal. And we sit right there at the 45-yard line. We're just about midfield behind you guys. Place it down. He misses the 48-yarder, which I'm sure you clearly remember. A little bit of confusion after that. When the refs placed the ball back down, they placed it on the 37, shortchanging us a yard. And I know you're focused on the bigger things. I'm just wondering why none of your coaches caught that little – and, you know, I know you're into details, Coach, and that's what I appreciate about you and your passion, but it just shocked me that we got shortchanged the yard and it was never brought a question. And I'm sure if you go back and look at the game, Phil, you'll catch that.
Glenn, the coach has already left.
Oh.
But I have made a note of that, and I will bring it to the coach's attention. And I'm you know how he is on details.
Oh, I know. And also one other thing I got to tell you,
I
met Derek Cox in person,
yes.
One of the greatest guys you'll ever see, and I hope all the young players are like Derek Cox.
You know, if you get a chance to meet the rookies, just the rookies from this year,
And
that includes Julius Williams and some of these guys undrafted, mm-hmm. You'll like them. They're good kids. They did an excellent job of bringing good talent in here and good kids. And we're out of time. Glenn, thanks so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. All right, folks. Jaguars, Texans, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. Pre-game starts at noon for those of you on the network. The rest of you tailgate at 10. Have a great week.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.